You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to help you plan that unbelievable travel experience. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
It's a Thursday here on the Blogging the Boys podcast network. And of course, that means it's time to get riled up on the Cowboys with my man, Tom Ryle, at Tom Ryle BTB on the Twitter sphere. And of course, your boy, Roy White, at RW3, also on the Twitter sphere. And a lot to get to, Tom, because we got a short week for the Dallas Cowboys, Thanksgiving week. And we all know what that means. They get to interrupt our turkey Thanksgiving. I don't know about you, Tom. My Thanksgiving feast always has the Cowboys game in mind. And with that being said, the idea is to get the dinner started at about 2 o'clock. That way everybody's comfortable and has enough time by three to get their positioning in and get situated for game time. How about you?
Yeah, that's pretty much my schedule for tomorrow, is to get the food on the table at about 1:30 or 2, and that way we don't have to rush through it and get set up to sit down and watch the Cowboys hopefully come back big and stomp the Las Vegas Raiders.
Yeah, well, they did it once before. The Atlanta Falcons coming off of a big loss against the Denver Broncos, and they put it on them, right? A 40-burger, the defense held up and only allowed a field goal in that game. But it's a little bit different of a feeling for me with the Cowboys coming off of this loss against the Kansas City Chiefs. Number one, because of the loss itself, while the Broncos game was one that came as a bit unexpected to most of us Cowboys fans, both prognosticators and the fan base in general, I think that this game was a little bit more understanding in terms of the result. Now, if you'd have told me the way the game was going to go and the way that it went, I would have told you, I don't think there's any way that the Chiefs defense can hold the Cowboys offense to just 9 points. And for that reason, I suppose we have some reasons to be concerned. But having said that, Tom, I am one of those, and I think I'm in the minority of the Cowboys fan base, that actually looked at that loss against the Kansas City Chiefs and took as many positives away from it as potentially negatives. And I think you share that opinion.
Yeah. To an extent, that's true, because first off, the defense was good. They had an opening drive they gave up where Kansas City just marched down the field. But after that, you know, they gave up 12 points, you know, a touchdown and two field goals, basically. And or actually 13 points, because they missed the extra point after that initial drive. And I mean, Micah Parsons is just a football god. I mean, he was brilliant. And the defense just held him and got a couple of turnovers, gave the offense opportunities. The failure in the game was a breakdown of the offense. Last week, when we were looking ahead to the Kansas City Chiefs game, I don't believe they knew about Amari Cooper's COVID thing yet. I think that cropped up right after our podcast went live, I believe.
It did.
And so that was an unknown. We didn't know that was going to happen. And then, of course, second half, they lost CeeDee Lamb for the entire half. And so they really were dealing with, mostly just the second stringers, wide receivers. Michael Gallup was back in his first game back. And it was oddly something that happened. The very first play of the game, as you remember,
Dak missed him wide open.
Yeah, they had Gallup wide open for a big gainer that was going to get him like to midfield on the first play at least, and Dak overthrew it. And that seemed to kind of set the Cowboys back a little bit. And I don't think they ever really regained their footing. And Dak was clearly struggling. You know, I've talked about on the live stream that, you know, the win was a factor for him. But I also, you know, we also saw drop passes that he, when he did get it to the receivers. So things just weren't clicking. The running game didn't get going. They're going to need to get that taken care of. And can we admit that maybe the Connor McGovern experiment was a little bit too fast coming, that they might have been better if they left Connor Williams in with Tyron Smith going out? Now, I think they actually anticipated that Tyron was going to be playing while they went ahead and made the McGovern move. And then when they decided that Tyron Smith needed another game off, it just was out of sync. I mean, even Zach Martin got beat for a sack. So it just kind of, the whole line was kind of in a bit of a funk.
Yeah, everybody other than Tyler Biotis had a hand in allowing a sack against them in that game. And that, you know, that kind of broke their back several times. The McGovern decision, while, you know, a head scratcher for me, not ultimately the one that decided this football game in my mind. It is one that I think they should take back and reevaluate going into this game. And especially with the expectation that Tyron Smith looks like he's going to be good to go. Well, with him coming back, I think I would probably pair him up with Connor Williams for now and see how the two, you know, handle one another. Thankfully, yeah, they're not up against a pairing of the likes of Chris Jones and what the Chiefs really ultimately had to offer against them, but they're not up against slouches in the likes of Max Crosby and what the Las Vegas Raiders can bring to the table. You did mention Micah Parsons, two sacks in the game, three quarterback hits, making a case. Not only is the runaway defensive rookie of the year, I think that one's probably about in the bag if he hasn't sewn it up already. The question becomes, will he be in the conversation for defensive player of the year at some point? I think the Cowboys defense has the type of matchups as this goes on that he absolutely could be in that conversation, depending on how the Cowboys defense and Dan Quinn decides to utilize him.
Yeah, I'll argue that he actually has entered the conversation. It's not real loud yet, but there are people starting to say, you know, this may be along the lines of
Lawrence Taylor.
Yeah, I can't remember if that was the last guy to make it.
Last one, 1981, the last rookie defensive player to win defensive rookie of the year or defensive player of the year honors.
Yeah, but he's while I don't want to say he's the level player, the guy that changed the face of the game the way Lawrence Taylor did, there are certainly some aspects to his game that are reminiscent. But, yeah, I think he's definitely in it. On the offensive line thing, it has been announced, I believe, already that McGovern is going to get the start again, so they're going to go ahead and see if maybe having Tyron there next to him. But, you know, that's the good news, is that Tyron Smith was a full participant in practice, and he is going to be back to start the game. And although last I heard there was still a outside neurological consult that had to happen, but it looks like CeeDee Lamb is going to make it back, which a lot of people were thinking he was going to at least miss this game.
Yeah, that one's a weird one to me, only because it feels a lot like the Cowboys organization is speaking that into existence. And what they say on it has zero, listen to me, folks, has zero input as to whether or not he actually passes concussion protocol. So they can have all the optimism they like, and yay, he was listed as a limited participant in practice. They can do that too, right? And I'm sure some of that has to play into why they're so optimistic about it. But ultimately, he does have to pass some tests to be able to be good to go here on Thanksgiving Day. And, you know, it's not 100% up in the air as to whether or not he will. How much does that change the game plan, by the way, for the Dallas Cowboys? Because for me, you know, I wouldn't have said that CeeDee Lamb was the linchpin to make this thing go, but knowing Amari is already going to be out and knowing you will get Tyron likely back, I mean, does CeeDee kind of make the difference for whether or not we feel confident in this offense?
No, he's just another weapon to put out there. It makes a difference, but it is not the difference maker, I guess is what I'm saying, just to clarify. It just gives them a better chance of having a good game, I think.
I mean, I think he is kind of a difference maker for me, not in the sense that, like, he makes the difference mm-hmm. between a win and a loss. He makes the difference between me feeling extremely confident about this offense going up against the Las Vegas Raiders and feeling, I'm not sure how it's going to go, right? Yeah. Because Michael Gallup, Cedric Wilson, Noah Brown did not inspire a whole lot of confidence, you know, of taking the mantle as 1, 2, and 3 receivers when, you know, traditionally they've been 3, 4, and 5.
Yeah, and they might need to actually consider moving Malik Turner up a little bit in that, because he kind of flashed a little bit late in the game. I will say that on the concussion protocol, Lamb has completed all but the last step. So he has gone through all that, and that's I think why the team is so optimistic, because their own staff has not seen anything. Now they have to get an outside, supposedly impartial physician to buy off on it. So we'll find out about that. Hopefully the listening audience will know shortly after this goes live, the word will come out on that. So we'll soon find out. Whether or not he plays, I still believe that with the indoor stadium and with, having Tyron Smith back, which I think is going to help, I don't think the Raiders are the level of team that the Chiefs are, but most importantly, Dak Prescott's pissed off. You know, he said so. And I think that is important, because I don't know exactly what happened. He did talk a little bit about it, and I don't have the exact quote, but when he gets mad and gets focused, he tends to bring something extra to the game. And I think that's going to be the difference maker on offense. And then I think the defense is going to just harass the heck out of Derek Carr, because coincidentally, folks, if you look at what happened to the Raiders last Sunday, it was very similar to what happened to the Cowboys. Derek Carr had a very similar poor performance. The Raiders got beat worse by the Cincinnati Bengals. So, yeah, I'm hoping that what's going to happen is we're going to see more of the true nature of the two teams. And the true nature of the two teams is the Cowboys are a better team. I thought that they were going to come in and do well with the Chiefs. I was wrong, but like I said, didn't know that Amari was going to go into the COVID protocol. But I'm not pessimistic at all about this. I'm fairly optimistic that they're going to manage to get a win. I do think it's a win they need to get, though.
Vacations can be tricky. You already know how to book flights and hotels, but now the only thing you're missing is, you know, the actual travel experience. Because is it really a vacation if you're just sitting around like you would at home? You need a tool to get the most out of your time away. That's where Viator steps in. You can book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected. And 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
Listen, I'm 24 and I still live at home. Like, what? For sure. Are you kidding me? My man and I, we attempted to move out.
Yeah, that'll be $1,600 for a studio apartment, not including groceries, not including...
Last fall, the National Association of Realtors released data showing that housing affordability had fallen to its lowest point since the 1980s for reasons of economy, American.
There just aren't a lot of home sales going on. And there's really kind of a standoff right now between buyers and sellers.
That standoff leads to another kind of standoff.
It's always fun being 40-something years old and having to live with your parents again. And I know it's all my fault.
Sir, I don't know your life, but on Today Explained, a two-part series on how it might not be your fault. Our housing reality bites and the American dream is in your childhood bedroom. Series sponsored by Mint Mobile. Today Explained, in your feed every weekday.
And I'll tell my mom, Mom, I'm going to the bathroom, I'll be back. If I'm not out in like 3 minutes, dog, she's like knocking on the door going, everything okay in there? Yeah, Mom, everything's cool, dog.
Yeah, that, I mean, I guess my optimism stems, and the Cowboys 7.5-point favorites in this game, right? So they're comfortable favorites in this game against a Raiders team who looked like they were going to be a formidable opponent a couple weeks ago when they were 5-2. Now, having lost three straight, including, as you mentioned, a blowout loss to the Cincinnati Bengals. Prior to that, they got blown out by the Chiefs, and they also lost to the abysmal New York Giants 3 weeks ago. I mean, it's not as scary of a team that they're bringing to town. I agree with you. I feel like the defense can do enough to stand up, but, you know, offensively, right? When I look at the matchup, I didn't think the Chiefs were all that good of a defense. And even without Amari and even without CeeDee and even without Tyron, I would have said to you, I expect the Cowboys to score 30 against that defense. So when they only scored 9, I still was left scratching my head a little bit. And I think that is why I've got a little hesitation with getting too excited about this week. Now, I also agree with you in the fact that if Dak Prescott's pissed off, right, it's like my theory of, you know, rolling black several times. Well, it's got to hit red at some point. Same thing with Dak, right? He doesn't lose too many games in a row. He fired off the last time he got embarrassed and fired off a 40-point win against the Atlanta Falcons, right? So he very well could do that same thing again. Will they do that? I think the hope is that they do. But but is that a guarantee? Certainly not against a Raiders team who, if they're going to stay in it, right, this is a win they kind of have to have. As I mentioned, they lost 3 in a row. They're now 5-5. They're looking at another loss being at the bottom of their division, having previously been at the top a few weeks ago. So this is one that they're going to be in desperation mode for.
Yeah. Sometimes desperate teams can be dangerous teams, but just as often a desperate team just gets more desperate and flounders out there. It's reasonable to have some unease about this. You know, it would be very different if they'd gone in and handled the Chiefs. I think we'd all just be feeling this was just going to be chalked up as a win. But with having come off of that loss, it is something that we've got a little bit of wait and see. One thing I'm really, you know, kind of concerned about that hadn't been talked about so much, you know, some people though are pointing out, but what's happened to the running game? Ezekiel Elliott hadn't had 70 yards in the past three games. That's the first time in his career that has happened. Now, they seem to be having a hard time getting the running game going at all. It actually started clicking more later in the game against the Chiefs, but by that time, they were down 2 scores and trying to catch up. And so they really couldn't rely on the run because, you know, you have to worry about the clock and you can stretch more out of the clock when you're throwing the ball. So that's, I think, it's going to be kind of important to see if the run game does start to come up because the Cowboys need that balance, you know. And when I say balance, I don't mean 50-50 run or pass. It's having a credible running game that you can use at times that can get you some good gains on early downs and that can, you know, get those short yardage ones. And every now and then, you know, break off a 15 or 20 yard run to keep the other team having to remember the running game's there so they can't sell out to beat the pass. That's something I think really needs to happen. They need to get that kind of solved because that's been part of the Cowboys. You know, they've been playing complementary ball on offense and defense. They've also been playing complementary ball between the running and the passing game, and that kind of has disappeared. So we need to get that back. We need to see that, which I'm hoping they'll do. And the nice thing, I guess, something I look at is maybe they don't have to get all of this done as long as they can get one of the elements really clicking. I mean, maybe Dak is still not throwing well, but they get the running game going and they don't really need to pass. Or maybe Dak is just marching them down the field with his arm and they don't have to worry about being able to run the ball. And maybe the defense will give them some good field position with some turnovers and maybe even score some points themselves.
Well, they're capable of it. We know that to be the case, and they're certainly dangerous enough to be able to give that option. Who knows? Maybe it'll even come on a special teams, a punt block or something to that effect, because we know they can do that too. Nashawn Wright, shout out to you. Dorrance Armstrong had a nice game here recently and has been getting talked up a little bit, and it's nice to have someone on the defensive line being talked up that's not Randy Gregory or Tank Lawrence or Micah Parsons, because those seem to be the only names that have kind of flashed in any capacity on that offensive, on that defensive line, outside of Odighizuwa, who has also been fantastic, just hasn't flashed in the sense of getting sacks and getting a ton of pressures.
Well, he's a tackle, so you don't expect him to be as flashy that way.
Yeah, you absolutely don't expect him to be that, but he's been very stout, no question about it. For Ezekiel Elliott and the run game, how much is that knee bothering him? In fact, oddly enough, after taking a shot against the Chiefs, and what to me looked like in slow motion was more of an ankle thing than it was a knee, personally. That looked to me like an ankle, but I'm an ankle guy. I roll my ankles every other weekend, it seems like. And you kind of try to bounce back from that, but every time you roll it once, you roll it again a lot easier the next time. So that to me looked like an ankle, and yet no injury designation at all for him this week at this point. They've declared him ready to go and fully healthy. Are we buying that designation? Because the numbers that you just, you know, alluded to and what I'm seeing on the eye test doesn't necessarily suggest to me that Ezekiel Elliott is operating at 100%.
Yeah, well, he said that he's been having some knee pain for a while, that when he lands on it, sometimes he hurts, but he just plays through it because, you know, it's that time of year. Nobody is 100% that's out there playing football. They've been out there for the majority of the games. They're dealing with something. It's a violent game. It's hard on the body. And you have to be able to manage that kind of stuff and work through it, or you're not going to succeed in the NFL. I don't know. The thing about 100%, he says he's good to go. The team seems to think he is because they're still putting him out there as the starter with Tony Pollard, basically the relief pitcher coming in. So, yeah, I guess we're going to find out a lot about that. I certainly hope he is because, you know, he's a key part. The Cowboys need him. He is something that the other teams have to account for. So, yeah, I really hope it works out. And I'm not going to pretend I know the answer on that.
Well, another thing I'm interested to see in this game, and I'm curious to know who you feel could hurt the Cowboys, right? The first guy I think that comes to mind is Darren Waller, the tight end, who's been having a nice little run over the past couple of weeks, but the Cowboys looked good the last time they faced an outstanding – hell, they actually looked good last week against Travis Kelce. I mean, he didn't go off the way that I kind of anticipated that he would, and 2 weeks ago when they faced Kyle Pitts, they kind of held him down a little bit. I'm curious to think, you know, to know – who, if anybody, on the Raiders concerns you from an offensive standpoint?
It's the pass rush. Max Crosby and the pass rush. Because part of the problem last week was that it felt like every time that Dak went back to pass, there were people like in his lap, mainly oftentimes his own offensive lineman getting pushed backwards almost as soon as he got, he took his drop. And it was very hard. He was having to try to scramble. He couldn't scramble because they were, you know, they were coming up the middle and the ends were closing off the escapes. So they've got to slow down the pass rush. I'm hopeful that Tyron will do something there and at least give him that left side that he can roll out to if he has to. I'm hoping that, well, Collins has a better game because he had a poor game. So, to me, it's the pass rush is what could hurt them if they don't come up with a counter to that.
Well, Cowboys coming into this game now, falling back a little bit in the NFC race. And I want to hit against a narrative that I've kind of been hearing a lot lately, even being pushed by our own guys here at Blogging the Boys, in that these losses don't hurt as much because they're coming against AFC opponents, right? I don't know if you've heard this opinion being thrown out there, and I somewhat agree with it, right? I get the logic behind the fact that, hey, you know, a loss like Tampa Bay had to an NFC opponent is worse than what the Cowboys are dealing with to an AFC opponent. But I do want to say this, if they don't win this game, then they risk basically conceding the one seed entirely. And that is because when you look at the Arizona Cardinals and the schedule that they've got remaining, I still have circled on my calendar January 2nd. When the Cowboys take on the Cardinals, I expect that game to be for the number one seed in the NFC. But if the Cowboys want that game to mean anything, they've got to win this next group of games that are coming up before they take on the Cardinals. Because for the Cardinals' sake, this weekend they get a backup in Andy Dalton and the Chicago Bears. They do have the Rams, although taking them on at home. And then they face the Lions, a decent Colts team who has actually been playing terrific football here recently, right? And then they get the Cowboys. So it's not exactly a cakewalk for the Arizona Cardinals before they face the Cowboys, but I just don't want to give them another game in hand, which basically means you've got to have them lose a game, have you win a game somewhere before you face each other for all the marbles there in January.
Yeah, I think that's very pertinent. The Cowboys need to be winning until they get to that Week 17 game against the Cardinals. And there's also just the fact that I don't want the Eagles to feel like they have a chance in the NFC East. And right now they honestly do.
Yeah, they do.
They're on it. They are basically, there's people in their fan base that are basically saying, look, we've got all the games won until we play the Cowboys in week 18, which is foolish because as we've all seen, the NFL has just been drunk. And I don't
think that may be true, but have you looked at their schedule?
Yes, I have. And it's basically they're playing against the rest of the NFC East and the New York Jets.
It's pretty cake. They play the New York team, three of the next 4 weeks, and they got two Washington football games smashed in between those, right? So, I mean, combined, their opponents that they're facing over the next 5 weeks don't even have double-digit wins between them all.
Yeah, it's a mess. And I will say that the Giants game may not be as much of a walk because it's possible the Giants offense might actually start getting things right now that a certain former Dallas Cowboys head coach is no longer their offensive coordinator. I don't want to badmouth that. I'm not too sure there wasn't some scapegoating going on with the Jason Garrett.
Yeah, it was weird to see how many Cowboys fans kind of celebrated that thing. Like, I get I get it, right? You still have our baggage that was held over from Jason Garrett. I understand it, but to be cheering the guy, you know, losing his job, right? The only time I think I could cheer that move is when he was let go of the Cowboys. And I thought they would be better off for it. In fact, if I think he's a not very good coach, then I should be booing the fact that they're getting rid of him because in reality, I think that makes them better. So if there is any truth to Jason Garrett's responsibility for the offensive stagnation. And I think he does hold some responsibility in that. I agree with you, a little bit of scapegoating there, but I also do think some of it's Jason Garrett and his outdated approach. You know, if I do think he sucks that bad, I kind of wanted to see them keep him.
Yeah, I can see that. But I it might be interesting to see. Sometimes when you have a situation like that, a big upheaval, a team does something drastic in midseason, you'll get this weird bounce effect where all of a sudden they come out and play much better than expected. That's why I said I don't think that the Eagles can write off any of those games. You know, they've got to play. I think they play Washington twice.
They do.
And Washington is kind of showing a little feistiness too. So, yeah, I do. But mostly I just want to see the Cowboys rack up some wins and lock up the NFC East as quickly as they can, just so they don't have to worry about that anymore.
Yeah, I do think, you know, I do think Philly, though, that's a playoff team in the NFC. I'm saying,
yeah, I can see them being a wild card.
I'm calling it now in November. I do believe that the Eagles will wind up finagling their way into a playoff spot. I hate to say it, but I do think that's the way that it's going to go. So Cowboys taking on the Raiders there at AT&T Stadium. Home game for Dallas. I expect it to be a relative home game that's like 60-40 Dallas fans to out-of-town Vegas fans, because that's a high-priced ticket, and I can understand Cowboys fans wanting to get their money back, right? You pay for three games by selling the Thanksgiving Day ticket, so I understand the economics of it, but I just don't love the fact that, you know, we're so willing to give up home field advantage for that reason, right? Because it's a place to be seen and to see and be seen, if you will. So my expectation, Cowboys do get back on a roll against this Raiders offense, whether or not, against this Raiders unit, whether or not they have CeeDee Lamb in tow is really going to be inconsequential. Dak Prescott's going to throw for three touchdowns. He'll run for one as well. Ezekiel Elliott or Tony Pollard, one of the two, will add one on the ground, and the Cowboys are going to put up a 35 spot, and everybody will feel pretty good about what their offense is capable of once again.
Yeah, I called it already in the writer's prediction post. I'm looking for a 33-16 Cowboys win, you know, where they – I think they're going to be – just not having Amari out there is going to kind of slow down the points just a little bit, but I think they're going to still do quite well, and just because I think this is a case where they do have a team that they're outmanning. Was wrong last week. I sure hope I'm right this week.
Yeah, the one thing I would say to that, though, is that, you know, last week the Amari deal was kind of sprung on them a little bit late. You know, this week they've had an entire week to prepare without him. They've had an entire week really to basically prepare as if they don't have CeeDee Lamb either. So that's three practices worth of repetitions for the likes of Cedric Wilson, Michael Gallup, you know, Noah Brown, and even Malik Turner, as you mentioned, to get some familiarity with Dak Prescott. And I think that'll be enough. The other note that I would take as a positive from that KC game, although again, you know, probably came a little bit in garbage time, but they did get Ezekiel Elliott and Tony Pollard involved in, you know, through the air. They combined for 8 catches, had about 56 yards between the two of them. You know, that number could be a little bit higher, certainly getting them the ball down the field or finding ways to maybe have them on the field together. I hope that Kellen Moore does bring a little bit more of that into play. That's the one thing that if I had to make a complaint about what I'm seeing from the offense or not seeing from the offense, I think with these other weapons being out, I would like to see a little bit more pairing of Tony Pollard and Ezekiel Elliott on the field together. I don't think that would be the worst thing in the world, especially when Blake Jarwin and Amari Cooper or CeeDee Lamb may also be unavailable.
Yeah. And I will say that I think Kellen Moore kind of got thrown off of his game the worst we've seen this year, that he just couldn't figure out what would work. And it seemed like, I mean, like we said, he put some plays out there like that first play, the attempt to Gallup, that just didn't click. And I think he was a little frustrated by the fact that he couldn't find things to work. And maybe that had him reaching into the wrong part of the play sheet at times. I don't know. I'm hoping we see a bounce back from Kellen too.
Well, a few less turnovers from Dak Prescott. And I think the Cowboys will be right back on track where they expect to be. Micah Parsons going to continue to make his defensive player of the year candidacy case in this game. And I expect him to make some splash plays, and that should be enough to get the Cowboys back into victory land and have us feeling pretty good as we head into, you know, a game 1 week later, right? The three games in 12 days that the Cowboys go through every time this year. It's always a talking point. I never understand why everybody makes, I get it that it's a tough stretch, right?
Yeah. But every team has that, yes, around the Thursday night game. Almost everybody has to face that. It's just for the Cowboys, it's always at the same time. It's always around Thanksgiving. And before we get out of here, I want to wish you and everybody that's listening a happy Thanksgiving. I hope you are blessed and have a wonderful day.
Amen. Yeah. Give your loved ones a big hug for us. Thank you so much from all of us here at the Blog of the Boys Podcast Network for listening to our content. We certainly appreciate it, and our families do as well. So I can promise you that. For Tom at Tom Ryle BTB on Twitter, I'm Roy at RW3. You can follow our show, of course, and follow all the great content at bloggingtheboys.com. Follow the podcast page. Make sure you subscribe to the podcast page as well as our YouTube channel, as we will have live reaction from the game coming up after things are done, when the Cowboys take on the Raiders there at AT&T Stadium. So until next Thursday, let's go get a Cowboys win. And again, happy Thanksgiving to you. Thanks for listening. Enjoy that turkey. That was a chicken. Gobble, gobble. That's my turkey. Later.
Support for this show comes from Wix Studio. Designers and devs, you might be able to do your thing better on Wix Studio, a web platform with everything you need to deliver bespoke sites hyper-efficiently. Design teams get a ton of smart features that can take the grind out of web creation without it costing per pixel control. Dev teams, you get a zero setup, developer-first environment, combined with an AI code assistant and your preferred IDE for rapid deployment. Search Wix Studio today to explore the full range of features.
From data privacy to the future of TV, retail media, and beyond, the world of digital marketing is constantly in flux. So how can you keep up? Well, The Current Report is there for you. Each week, marketing leaders on the cutting edge give you the latest insight. So if it's creating a buzz, they'll be talking about it. Subscribe to The Current Report wherever you get your podcasts.